Dev Random. With your host, GMC.
Time is 2200 CET, February 16th. This is Dev Random on Signal, Hackerspace Radio. And a good evening! Today we look back at the early days of Dev Random with a selection of some of the greatest items on the show in 2010. What an opportunity for new listeners to catch up! What a great moment for loyal listeners to reminisce about the days when making radio was still new to yours truly. Or, in other words, I'm just too busy to make a show this month. What with the preparations of OHM 2013, the hunt for a good location, work, and of course, Limesco. In fact, when you are listening to this, I am meeting with my fellow candidate board members to prepare for a deciding moment in the history of Dutch mobile telephony, the founding general assembly of this community-run telco. Talking about telcos, back in 2010, well, around the time the witch hunt for Julian Assange turned particularly nasty, I participated in the democratic process surrounding an upcoming merger between two US Midwest telco and internet providers. We go back to a windy interstate parking lot on November 2010, where I and co-host Flyco discussed the proceedings at that particular event. One of the things that, of course, is very important in the United States is democracy. It's one of your largest export products, I think. And so to get the real full American experience, you took me to partake in the democratic process.
Yeah. We went to a hearing.
Yes.
And in testified.
In Denver, actually.
Yes, it was in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, you've been following this story for a while. What was this all about?
Quest Telecommunications Company is engaging in merger relations with a company from Louisiana called CenturyLink. CenturyLink is much smaller, and Quest is responsible for more than 10 states on the West Coast, and they're a very, very large company. I'm a subscriber, and well, they're a part of the old AT&T telephone system. And this merger is, well, it's a big deal, and not a lot of people are talking about it.
So, we went there. Apparently, before we got there, the lawyers already had a meeting. I think we'll hear more about that later. Let's just listen to the opening of the session by the chairman.
This proceeding is being webcast. I've just turned it on. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to public hearings in docket 10A350T. I'm Commission Chairman Ron Binns, and I'm the designated hearing commissioner for the Quest CenturyLink merger. This commission has asserted jurisdiction over this merger, and none of the parties have argued otherwise, and so we're having a hearing to decide whether we agree with the merger or not. And whether we accept or not conditions on the merger. You're here to give public testimony in this case. Public testimony is recorded by the court reporter, Harriet, up here. We'll take that down and transcribe it and make it available to the parties in the case. You are expected to tell the truth. In fact, I'm going to swear in the entire room. Anybody who wants to testify will take an oath. Okay, I have the following four people: Steve Merrill, Kathleen Flynn, Kyle Drozdik and Keen Martins, who asked to testify. Would the four of you stand up and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you all. Have a seat.
So that was all very official. We had to swear to speak the truth. You didn't tell me before.
I know. I wasn't expecting that we were going to be sworn in, but we did. We got sworn in. And, there were a couple people before us. And they represented one was a private citizen who had been a Quest customer, and the other was with AARP.
Yeah. Maybe we should just listen to the concerns the gentleman, Mr. Merrill, had from the AARP.
Yes, the American Association of Retired Peoples.
AARP has a strong commitment to ensuring consumers have access to affordable, high-quality telecommunications services, including broadband. AARP would like to raise concerns based on experiences in other states where former Bell operating companies have sold their local telephone service operations to smaller companies. We urge the Commission to ensure that the proposed transaction does not put customers at risk of rate increases and deterioration in service quality. The expansion of affordable broadband to unserved and underserved areas should be required. Residential customers rely on their local service for critical and essential communication services. The potential harm from this deal gone wrong would be devastating.
Okay, I appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this gentleman is worried about the quality of service. I think he's not the only one, actually, because it was a recurring theme. Mrs. Flynn, I believe, went up next.
Yes, and she was very concerned. She had dealt with Quest personally, and she was representing herself as a consumer as opposed to Mr. Merrill, who was representing a nation and statewide organization.
I'm here representing myself. I just found out about this hearing a couple of hours ago, and I thought I'd take this opportunity to speak from a personal consumer point with my experience with Quest Communications. For many years, I've had Quest Internet service and Quest telephone service, and neither has been very satisfactory. Eventually, we would get the issue solved, but the service is poor, and I didn't feel like I was getting what I was paying for. However, my biggest issues with Quest over the years has been with billing. And they've been so severe that I, until recently, had a file that was over 3 inches thick.
So, Kyle, you also are a Quest consumer.
Yes,
and
correct.
I think you could fully relate to what both the gentleman and the woman said about poor service and difficulties. And
yes, and I was able to refer to that personally, and I also brought up some other issues that I think the global community is concerned about as well regarding these big telecommunications companies. And let's listen to a little bit of what I had to say.
I'm here as a public citizen, and I'm also a volunteer at the Museum of Communications, which is a project of the Telephone Pioneers of America. And I'm also a Quest customer, so I have a Quest landline as well as ADSL service, and it's 7 megabit for anybody interested. And so with those two services, I pay about $100 a month. The United States, our broadband is profoundly overpriced, and I feel like if we want to compete in today's society, we're gonna have to offer better service to people.
So you complain about the broadband, which is actually the reason that I also was there on behalf of the International Foundation for the Proliferation of Broadband.
Which is a very exciting announcement
to
be able to bring up what your organization is planning, and so this is a really unique opportunity.
Absolutely, let's listen to that in a moment. You also brought up, we didn't hear that in the short excerpt we played. You also brought up net neutrality,
yes,
as well as privacy concerns, and you actually commended Quest on their privacy policies.
I did, and actually Quest has been very good about not divulging private data to the federal government. And with all of the terrorism stuff in 2000 and the Patriot Act, Quest was the only local provider to not divulge stuff that the government wanted. They basically refused the federal government. So I did commend them a little bit. I just told them that I wanted that to continue.
Yes. You also mentioned net neutrality. Do they have any history regarding that? Do they have plans to make companies pay for the bandwidth that's being used, or?
Not that I'm aware of, but it is an issue that I think that needs vigilant supervision by the public, and we need to make sure that they don't move in a direction that's unhealthy for our country and the global community.
I understand. You're also concerned about. We just had a really animated conversation about it in the car as well. The history of the American phone system. And you also mentioned this at the hearing.
And lastly, I would like to speak regarding my involvement with the Museum of Communications. I'm a volunteer there, and as I said, it's a 501c3 project of the Telephone Pioneers of America. And through my interactions with them, I've grown to really appreciate the history of our telecommunications system. And I would appeal or simply request that as this merger either proceeds or whatever your decision is about it, I would like continued support for the historical element that places like the museum contribute in recording the history and basically preserving the American heritage surrounding the telephone system. I think that's absolutely paramount, that young people understand how things work and the direction that things are going.
Yeah, because you just told me in the car, actually, the telephone system, which was previously all owned by AT&T, I understand, is really all pervasive in American society. The government is running on it.
Yeah, it's a private company, but it's very, very steeped in historical tradition. At one point, many people out of all the jobs in the country were involved mostly with the telephone system, and basically it's a huge deal. The government, as you said, the government works they use a private system from AT&T. It's not been a state-owned company. It's been very independent of the government. So it's very important to me and I think to like our society to know the history and not forget it, no matter what direction it goes in.
All right. So one of the things, it used to be one company. On paper, there is competition now, but you don't really believe that there is actual competition, right?
Well, I mean, if you look at the timeline, it's only been 10, 20 years, and they did have to split up because for monopolistic reasons, which has happened in the software industry. Various lawsuits have been brought up, and people have tried to make the argument there. But it actually did happen in 1984. The Bell telephone system was split up into smaller companies, and various legislation came into play as far as competition and access to networks and stuff like that. But in my opinion, the industry has replaced the corporation, and with media consolidation, you're creeping into information services and that kind of thing. You're basically up against an industry instead of a corporation, which to me is no different.
And you even see the content industry moving into the data carrier business, which is really scary. And in Europe, we've seen actually in also in other parts like Asian countries, there's been recent discussions about ACTA, the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. We've been going on about that at length at Signal, but you actually never heard of it, did you?
I absolutely had no idea about this worldwide initiative that American companies and institutions were putting forth. I had no idea about it.
So I shall have to educate you on that simply because it's a really scary thing going on where basically the content industry is getting into the lawmaking process, and if there's even the hint of copyright infringement, you could be cut off from the internet for good, and that's really a bad thing, because in this day and age, the internet is increasingly important, not only to participate in your local community, also to be part of the global community that's forming with the internet. Something related to that is the state of bandwidth in the broadband in the United States. We've seen a bit about that. I expressed my concerns about that in the hearing. Let's listen to that.
I'm from The Hague in the Netherlands in Europe. I'm involved.
First international witness at a public hearing involving telephone service in Colorado.
I saw how I expected it. I will explain how I got mixed up in this. I'm part of an initiative that's based in The Hague to start an international foundation for the proliferation of broadband. For the past 2 weeks, I've been visiting locations at the West Coast, seeing how the broadband situation actually is. And I found that, well, people pay a lot of money for quite deplorable quality of service. The speeds are very slow. If you compare this with, for example, Europe, where I am from, you pay 20 times as much. It impacts how people can participate in the global economy, the global community that is being formed by the internet. For example, I myself have been trying to communicate with people back home using modern technologies like voice over IP, VoIP. Voice over IP, it's VOIP. That's, it was quite impossible. I'm staying at a consumer, a friend of mine here in Denver, and well, the best internet they could get doesn't even allow me to make a simple call back home using Skype. It's too slow.
I know you said this, but I want to make sure it's clear on the record. What's the organization that you're working with?
It's an initiative restarting this up. It's the International Foundation for Proliferation of Broadband. We're setting it up because we think that broadband is, as I said, crucial to participating in the global community.
So yes, there you have it, the International Foundation for the Proliferation of Broadband. It's a very young organization. There's so far two members in there, I think, but we're rapidly recruiting new people and people to make logos and set up a website and everything. But this is the thing. We've been visiting places, and everywhere we go, most of the places, there's ADSL, and it's really crappy, actually.
It really is.
I tried to upload some pictures. It takes ages. My connections got reset, and I have to wait and to sit somewhere at the hackerspace that has fiber, and which is really expensive as well, to have speeds that are quite normal at homes in Europe. It's amazing, really, because the internet was invented in the USA.
Yes,
it's a DARPA, the whole thing. It's an American thing, and yet
it sucks.
It's amazing.
It's,
I don't,
terrible.
Know. Yeah,
we should be ashamed.
<It's>, so I hope the IFPB can change that all, and that you will have some decent internet at some point in the near future. Because I have sympathy for the situation. I remember 10, 15 years ago, we had speech like that in the Netherlands, and it was horrible. I almost put that out of my mind. Coming here brings back all those memories. Anyway, the hearing. So this was the public part of the hearing. Right before that, actually was a sort of a negotiation situation where parties concerned with the merger, as well as the parties directly involved with the merger, were present.
Yes,
with their army of lawyers.
Exactly, and yeah. Competitive local exchange carriers were there as well to represent their interests on Quest or CenturyLink's networks, and they basically had to all come together and try to reach a settlement, some sort of agreement in front of the Colorado and Denver Public Utilities Commission. And the interesting thing is that it is a local meeting. It's the concerns of the state, but the reality is Quest is involved and responsible for more than 10 other states on the West Coast, and I spoke a little bit about that. And basically, it's the entire West Coast that's going to be impacted. And it was very funny to me to hear them talk, well, we've reached a settlement agreement, but we're going to be putting in riders and conditions that make certain that Quest has to invest in Colorado's infrastructure. And to me, that's nothing. That's like, great. Of course, you're only interested in local interests. The company is headquartered here. But what about the other 10 states on the West Coast that have to deal with this company? And they can, merge and do all their wonderful things in Denver, but everybody gets nothing.
Yeah, and actually they reached an agreement. I mean, the parties not directly involved that raised opposition to the merger. Apparently, their concerns were met. Let's briefly hear what the chairman told us about that, because, well, the public hearing was after that fact. So, although it's on record, it remains to be seen how much relevance it will have to the decision, I guess.
This, I'm hearing the case, as I mentioned, and what's been happening lately was that some of the parties in the case who previously had opposed the merger, or at least had reasons to oppose the merger, have engaged in settlement agreements. And one of the settlement agreements, which happens to be between the staff of the Public Utilities Commission and the applicants, that's Quest and CenturyLink. That settlement agreement calls for a minimum an amount investment in broadband in Colorado.
So as you can hear, that's only going to be invested in Colorado. And in my opinion, if this goes sour, if Quest gets worse, you know, this hearing and this merger was an opportunity that was missed.
Definitely, yes. And it's strange. It's a really small company that's merging with this really large company, a local company basically with a very large company. The decision that is going to be made is expected to be mid-December, I understood from the proceedings. I assume you will be watching, and maybe we will have you in our show sometime as an expert from the United States to report on this matter.
With pleasure, I'll be there, absolutely. And I think that it's going to be an interesting thing to watch, and you know, I hope that things get profoundly better. But we will see.
Well, thank you for taking me there and giving me this small glimpse into the democratic process. I enjoyed it.
If you have been listening to this show from the beginning, you may remember I was not always hosting it. In fact, I started out as the technician to my friend Fish. But as these things go, life got in the way. In his case, he became father to a lovely son, as well as getting tied up deep into organizing the yearly Hack in the Box conferences in Amsterdam. We had a lot of fun in those early episodes, particularly when we had a conversation with Johannes Grensvoortner. Let us just listen.
Welcome back to Signal, your favorite Hackerspaces radio station. We got a very special guest on the line. It's Johannes Grensvoerder. And Johannes, how are you doing? This is Fish talking.
I'm doing fine, just excellent. I'm actually at NoiseBridge, the hackerspace in San Francisco, and I'm not only at NoiseBridge, I'm sitting in a coffin.
In a coffin. Is that the same coffin which is printed in the heart or something like that?
Well, yes, it is the coffin that will be put in the ground on Saturday here as part of the Ars Electronica conference. And we will bury people in the coffin, in the ground.
Whoa.
But we don't just like bury the people in the ground. We bury them in couples because they will have sex in the coffin.
Whoa, that sounds totally new.
Yes, it's the 6 feet under club because we are referring to the Miles High Club. But not too many people have sex in a coffin underground, and we want to do that because we are here in San Francisco at doing Ars Electronica conference, and it's a conference about sex and technology. And this year we have the specific theme of sex, tech and space, so outer space, cyberspace, architectural space, and also confined spaces.
What can people expect when they come to Ars Electronica, Johannes?
Okay, it's a pretty interesting mixture of academic talks and sheer like craziness. So we tonight we have our opening night at Shed Parade. It's a really great place here in San Francisco, and we have a keynote by Susie Bright, who will talk about like the disappearance of sexual spaces in the public spaces, so that you see less and less public erotic displays, for example, in the United States of America. But we also have talks about sex in outer space. For example, Spaceman Sam, who is a really good friend of mine, he will talk about sex in space on Friday night. The interesting aspect is that there is a slight chance that there already was sex in outer space, but nobody actually wants to talk about that. NASA is not talking about it at all. There is not even like a clear statement about if there happened something like masturbation in a space station or something like that. But Spaceman Sam is part of a private group who wants to send people to space, and he's really interested in sex and sex, space tourism and stuff like that. So he will give an interesting talk and perspective about how sex in outer space could actually work. And for example, on Saturday, that's the official, like the whole day we have talks on Saturday. It's our like conference for brainy perverts. And we have talks, for example, about stuff like the interspecies romance in the Mass Effect computer game series and stuff like that. So we have a pretty diverse like array of talks about sex, technology and space. Yeah.
Johannes, what was the primary idea to start with this conference? Was it just an idea popped up in your head and let's think about a conference about combining electronics and sex? Or is it more like there were multiple people who having just a very nice conference with their cells and thought, hey, we should join we should share this with other people?
Okay, so the conference is now in its fourth year, so we're doing it the fourth time, and we always have a specific except like sex and technology, we always have a specific theme. And the whole conference started because I'm part of Monochrome, and Monochrome is an art and technology collective from Vienna in Austria, and we are kind of the organizers of Ars Electronica. And our basic question was, because there's all this like you know, like small talk about how technology was influenced and stimulated by pornography and sex, and we kind of wanted to know if that's true. Is broadband internet really out there only because the porn consumers wanted to have faster access to porn? And is the VHS tape only because of the porn market, the dominant videotaping format of the 1980s? Like questions like that. Many, many people talk about that in small talk, but there is no, there was no conference or no combined effort to discuss like the interesting concept of pornography and technological innovation and how pornography stimulated technological innovation. And that's why we created the first Ars Electronica, because we really wanted to know, is it true? And we invited historians and people from the tech industry and philosophers, a quite interesting array of different people from different fields. And we asked the question, is it true? And in fact, yes, it is true. The first things that were printed by Gutenberg on his printing press, with his printing press, were not only the Bible, but he also printed erotica. And he was kind of like financing printing more Bibles with also printing smut. And the first Polaroid camera that came out in the 1950s, 1960s, it was called the Swinger, of course, because there was a hidden DIY amateur porn market out there. Because people didn't want to make their amateur porn photos at home and bring it to the processing company, because they, of course, didn't want the people at the processing company to see their amateur porn in the 1950s and 60s, you can imagine. And there is lots and lots of connections between that. Broadband internet in that form would not exist without the porn market being driven by consumers who wanted to download porn at home. Stuff like that. It's just like name a technology, see you, see me, video chatting, whatever. There is always a strong aspect of sex and pornography connected to that.
If you're going to take a look on the technologies who are stimulated by nice word in this case, by the way, stimulated by pornography. You already mentioned the VHS, but nowadays techniques like Blu-ray or HD DVD. Do you think those techniques are also still?
Oh yes. The Blu-ray standard is pretty much out there because the Japanese porn market wanted it. Yeah, pretty much.
So
like, just like Google for Blu-ray and Japanese porn markets.
Hey, we got some other people here on the table. Hey guys, why are we not at Ars Electronics? Or Ars, is it actually?
I'm actually not sure how to really pronounce it, because if you're a British guy, you would probably say something like Ars Electronica, and the Americans would say like Ars or something. I don't know.
Ars.
Ars. Yeah.
Sai, why are you not there?
I don't know. I cannot hear myself.
Hey.
Yeah, there's some technological problems out there.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Somebody's working with his arse, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, Johannes, how many people are going to join the conference?
So, I mean, in total, we have around, I would say, like 30, 35 people giving talks, doing presentations, having performances. But how many people actually will show up, I don't know. The good thing is the conference is partially financed by the Austrian Cultural Funding. We got a little bit of money from Austria to make a perversion conference in San Francisco. I kind of like that. Austria, thank you very much. But I still hope that lots of people will show up and actually pay the entry fee. So we don't like end up having that here. But I think that shouldn't be a big problem.
And what's
in
going
general,
to...
In general, just like an invitation, because I know a couple of people might hear that who are in San Francisco. Please show up. It's a really great... conference, and we have it in four different locations because we not only want to attract like the hacker community but also like the sex positive community. So we will have one day at the hackerspace Noisebridge where we are talking about all the tinkering aspects of like building your own stuff, DIY sex toys and stuff like that. But we'll also have one evening at the Center for Sex and Culture, which is more interested in the sex positive and sex tutorials, and sex workers go there and stuff like that. So we not only want to focus on like the pure hacker community scene, because the whole concept is so interesting. So many people from the hacker scene don't know anything about the sex positive community, and so many people in the sex positive community don't know actually what really interesting crazy shit is going on in hacker spaces. So we try to combine many, many different fields and scenes and people from who have different perspectives on the subject.
Hey, and Johannes, what's going to happen off the record? Is there a hidden agenda?
I mean, is there a hidden agenda? I don't know. The hidden agenda is, of course, to have a certain amount of fun. That's always good. I mean, there's stuff you just actually can't plan. At the first Ars Electronica in 2007, we had a guest, a really interesting guest. It was Fuckzilla, and Fuckzilla was and still is a fucking machine, and created by Kink. And we had it there. We just presented it. It's a giant machine that looks like the 1980s robot Johnny Five. You probably know Johnny Five. And the only difference between Johnny Five and Fuckzilla is that Fuckzilla has a licking chainsaw and a giant dildo head, and he can bring pleasure to men and women or whatever gender you have. So we had the machine there, and I was kind of joking and asking, is anyone interested in trying the machine? And because we're in San Francisco, like some person, really, like a 20-year-old girl, raised her hand and said, yes, I want to fuck Fuckzilla on stage right now. I'm into that. And then I saw a young feminist girl having sex with the crazy Fuckzilla machine on stage. And for the first time ever in my life, I saw female ejaculation for like, I don't know, like 4 meters or something like that. Yeah. And it was recorded. It's on tape. It's not on YouTube because they flagged it immediately. It's somewhere on YouPorn.
You should bring us a copy.
Go on YouPorn. Go to YouPorn and look for Fuckzilla and Ars Electronica, and you'll find it. It's out there. Yeah. And I mean, you can't plan that. Stuff like that just happens. And I hope that I've seen my fair share of sex fucking already at Ars Electronica, but I hope I'll see more of it, and not only because of my obviously like sexually stimulated male gaze tech fetish I have, but I don't know.
Hey, Johannes, you're over there in Noisebridge, and Noisebridge is also famous of a lot of makers over there. One of the famous makers, Mitch Altman, is he also going to join Ars Electronics?
Yeah, I hope so. Mitch is not yet in town. He is somewhere.
He's stuck in London, I saw.
He's anywhere all the time, like turning off TV sets, you know. And I hope he will be there because I think he would very much enjoy. I think he will arrive on Saturday or Sunday, something like that, perfectly on time for going to see our Screw It Yourself workshops at Noisebridge. Yeah.
I really hope he's not going to turn off your TV with your nice porn on it.
I mean, you know, it's hard to turn on my notebook. I don't even own a TV.
Hey, to finish, what's the reason why people should come to Ars Electronics? Main reason, one word.
Main reason, one line. Let's say one line.
Okay, one line.
The human species is a sexual species and a tool-using species. That's the two dominant factors of our existence, sex and tools. And because we are into sex and we're into tools, you should check out what we can offer for you.
I see Psychic over here with very big eyes, and he's watching your movie now. Tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, I see the Johnny Five machine thing basically flapping, flapping... yeah, parts of the human body that are not intended for flapping. Well, not by machines, actually. So, and shoving big things into holes that cannot take that much in that big shoves.
Is there no sound with it?
There is sound with it, but I can't. Don't know if I can.
Come on.
Hang on.
All you listeners out there, just like, you know, Google for the stuff. Google it. Check it out at home. It's way more interesting.
We got a repeat of the stream.
That's myself. I can hear myself announcing.
Shut up. So this is actually the fucking machine in action. The Fuckzilla.
If this is not going to make us explicit on iTunes, I don't know. I don't understand
anymore. There's no porn in this one. It's just a girl in the corner with doing some weird stuff with herself and basically shouting and crying and doing.
There are many videos because Kink.com is a porn producing company, and they created They actually paid the same guy who created Johnny Five in the 1980s to create the fucking machine. So it's built by the same guy who made Johnny Five. And that's the interesting thing. Yes? The cool thing is, about fucking machines is, of course, especially in the nerd community, there's so many men. Of course, they all consume porn. It's quite obvious. But the interesting thing is, more and more women out there use fucking machines and build their own fucking machines. There's a whole interesting aspect of third wave feminism of women who say, come on, I don't need a man. I can have my own fucking machine, or I can even build it for myself. I can custom make it for my own needs, and it's really cool. And so it's not only this like, oh, a couple of nerds are wanking off seeing fucking machines. There's so many women out there and girls who are interested in that topic, especially because they can build it for themselves. It's so really great.
Johannes, if people want to build their own fucking machine, just come to Ars Electronica.
Please,
you will happy to tell them how to do.
I'm happy to, yeah.
Hey, Johannes, thank you very much for joining us here in the show. And I'm looking forward to some of the movies. I only heard the sound. And see you soon, man.
Okay, it was a pleasure having you.
September 2010 show. But wait, check out the music we listened to back then. Anyway, I have one last bit for you from the archives, featuring another regular guest to the show. Well, until he retired, that is. My current self is signing off now. Thanks for listening. And without further ado, here is my past self, May 2011, to finish off this show.
And we're moving on, because, okay, how's your beard doing?
Yeah, it's very long, is this?
It's very long. You want to get rid of it, right? But you can't, because...
Well, it's more than a year, no government in Belgium.
Wow. I wonder how the guys are doing. You know what? Why don't we just give them a call? Well, if everything works out. Because it's quite amazing. Meanwhile, you've been to Easter Egg, haven't you, Oki?
Yeah. So, what can I say about Easter Egg? They had a very cool t-shirt, very cool cup, and you know what they did there is like stays there in Hamburg, so not going to tell you about the beer, the barbecue, and all the stuff. Oh, yeah.
You just did.
Oh, shit. And we had some internet, Some.
You had some internet.
Yeah, okay. But it's like a family stuff, and it's like.
And is this like a traditional hacker con on the lectures, or is it more like listen, it's ringing. We are going to, I think, no.
Ooh, who's he gonna go?
Well, if they answer, I mean, it's live radio. Anything can happen.
Anything. Pick up the phone.
Maybe I should have told him, Michael.
Hello.
Hey, hello. This is GMC
and Oki.
Oki, and you are live in Dev Random at Signal.
Woohoo!
Because we were talking about Oki's beard, and it's getting very long. What's up with the government? We're still waiting.
We still don't have a government, I think.
How's your beard doing?
They're slacking. If you can say one thing, our politicians are very good in slacking. the way it's going right now, we won't have a government in 10 years.
Wow. So that will mean a lot of long beards.
Yes, I think so. But everything is going fine, so I don't think we need politicians. So I declare Belgium the first anarchistic state of Europe.
Wow, you're here for that. I mean, you've got your own internet, you've got no government. Brilliant. I'm going to move there, actually.
Okay.
And have beer.
We have beer and we want GMC here, so come over.
I will.
You don't need a passport. We have no government anyway.
Thanks. Hey, cool. Hey, hang in there, guys. I mean, have some fun while it lasts. I mean, you never know. At some point, they're going to run out of money and want a job again, those politicians. So.
Okay. I'll call you when we have government. But
yeah, that's going to be a very long time. So, are you going to be next week on H2B?
I'm not going to be. I was going to, but I fucked up with my work schedule and I can't take the time off, which is very sad. Hans is going, but I'm not.
True.
Well, I also missed you at the field visit. Actually, I have some shirts for you, so I guess I'll have to come over and do a fact finding mission about this no government thing again.
Cool. I think I'm coming over in the weekend though for the GNU Cash workshop in Rustis.
Yeah.
That's next weekend, that. Right? Yeah. I think. Well, it's somewhere in my agenda.
Oh, but then I'm here at pH neutral.
As well. Hey, but Sandbender, thanks for letting us know what the situation is over there. I'm glad things are still okay, and I will see you soon.
Yeah.
Cool, I will. Thanks. And if you ever plan to move to Belgium, you know, you're welcome, right?
I know.
Come on over.
I always feel welcome. Hey, have a nice evening.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, have fun. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Belgium. I mean, wouldn't it be great to not have a government? I mean, we have builders still. We had some stickers here in the Netherlands.
You had some stickers.
Well, yeah, some unnamed person handed me some of those stickers. Apparently,
do you want more?
Apparently, six of those were. For the listeners, these were stickers with the head of Wilders, our favorite, populists, right wing. I don't know. He's a.
He has a funny haircut.
Yeah, and he has some weird ideas about. Foreign people and everything,
and he has also some funny flags.
We had some stickers with his face in like a sign, a red sign with a red bar. Forbidden for Wilders. So people put that up in the city, like on
everywhere.
Lantern poles. Well, according to the city, there were six of those found and removed in the city because, according to the member of the council, she said we don't like this kind of vandalism, especially if it has a political message. So that's quite interesting. So one of
But every party is handing out stickers.
But they don't want apparently political messages, which is kind of. I mean, there were some questions asked by political parties, like, "Oh, that's interesting." I mean, totalitarian states also don't like political messages. What do you think of that? And well, we're gonna wait. What the answer to that is? I'm trailing off. I mean, I have a whole program here. We have Easter hack. We had that because you can't say anything about it except that there was beer barbecue. I was asking, are there like lectures or is it just like hanging out, slacking and
sitting in the sun, soldering?
Okay, cool. Well,
I got a new kit from Lila Fish. I think you will like it because it makes noises and stuff like that.
Ooh,
with sensors and stuff.
Okay, so we owe it sensors. Talking about sensors, actually, last week, the finalists of the Great Global Hackerspace Challenge have been announced. And I should have prepared it because I know who the finalists are, actually. It's the Hackerspace from Brighton, if I'm correct. They made nice cubes that let students explore various concepts. There's the Hackerspace in Charlotte in the USA. They made really nice like pads that you can stick on the wall. And they are electronic components, so you can make electronic circuits. But they are very nice, nicely done. And well, kids can just play with them and make circuits and see what everything does, like a resistor or a transistor. And finally, Pumping Station 1 from Chicago, they made this kit to let kids experiment with bio sensors. Congratulations to these finalists. They are all going to San Francisco to visit the Maker Faire in the 21st, 22nd of May, where Mitch Altman, together with the whole panel, actually, will announce the winner, which is going to be difficult, he said. While he's there, he's going to try something pretty big. He's going to have a team of 30 volunteers. Yeah, he's going to teach 3,000 people how to solder. Wow, that's a lot.
Oh, well, then they need some shirts from us, probably.
Some what?
Some t-shirts from us.
Oh, yeah, with the manual, like the chicken shirt.
I
know the shirts. They do. What else? NinjaCon is coming up.
Yeah,
that's in June. I believe it's the 18th, and there is a website, of course, as well.
Yeah, and it is in the whatever thingy.
It's
not in the where it used to be. It's somewhere else.
Exactly, it's in the hub. I think.
Yeah, the hub. Vienna or something. Hub.
Indeed, it's. It's going to be the last NinjaCon actually, because
it used to be PlumberCon. So
it used to be PlumberCon. Yeah.
Con. I'm not the ninja or something like that. Maybe this should fit.
I don't know. Yeah.
What's
the name? Are you a plumber then? No. But
I work in the metal industry, so I'm more plumber than ninja. Of course, ninja. With ninja, I think only on one hacker. That's the guy who is also Christian and the hacker. I'm not mentioning any names.
Okay. Well, the Christian. I don't know. I'm going there anyway.
You're going by car, right?
Yeah, I'm going by car. It's the last ninja tour. And
it's also the first ninja tour, but it's done.
There's never been a first. It's the first and the last. Why not? And it's the second as well. I'm just going to go there by car, which is kind of a drive. But luckily, there's plenty of hackerspaces in between and on the way back as well.
You need people who invite you for the hackerspace, or is that already arranged?
I'm arranging that. I've been sending out some emails, and I already talked to some people.
I would go to Raumzeit Labor because they can.
Where's that?
It's in the great city of help me. not help me. Raumzeit Labor is in.
It's in
the city with the squares and the typical American city. It's in whatever and
in Germany.
It's in Germany.
The typical American city in Germany.
Yeah, that's a great street. It's like A1 and whatever A4.
It's like a grid.
Mannheim. It's Mannheim.
I don't know if I'm passing by there. Let's see.
You can legally sleep in this.
So, but it's not actually the last NinjaCon, because it's the last NinjaCon, but next year it's going to be besides Vienna. So it's still going on. It's not the last one, but it's the last NinjaCon, because basically Estera is leaving the city for Berlin, which I don't blame her. I mean, Berlin is a beautiful city. But so that's NinjaCon, the great collector. PH Neutral.
Yeah, PH Neutral.
You are going to PH Neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going. Okay. Some of other space members are also going.
When is that? What is it? Where is it?
What is it? It's secret.
Okay.
No, it's not secret. It's like with invitation only, or you have to buy tickets.
Okay.
And it's, when is it? It's 27th of May. It's like Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Now, where is it? The University Hall of Berlin. And yeah, if you don't know PH Neutral yet, then you are maybe not a hacker.
Okay.
So, and what is it? It's like a huge party, and it has also some very interesting talks. And mostly those are zero talks.
Zero talks?
Yes.
Zero day talks?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, dear. Are there any 0 days at Hack in the Box, actually?
I'm not going to tell anything about TLS and his stuff.
Oh, but you just... Okay.
Okay, okay. You want to give me some
real related 0 days.
Okay. The NS will stop transporting people.
The NS, the Dutch railroad company, yes, will stop. Why? I mean, that's...
Well, they get tired of transporting people from A to B, and then people just walk away. and they don't do anything. They, you know, they take the bike, the cycle, take the bus, take the subway.
They do. They're not loyal to the NS.
No.
I can totally understand that they want to end it. But so that's one of the big things we are going to hear at Hack in the Box.
Oh, I'm not going to tell anything about it.
You're not going to.
No. Oh, yeah. We have some prize winners.
What prize? No, we have to tell them about Hack in the Box in Amsterdam at, what is the date? Come on.
It's next week. It starts on
May 17th is the training, and the 18th is
two days
also
training, and then the 1 day party.
May 19th, May 20th are the quad conference tracks with lots of interesting talks. There's also going to be an excellent hackerspace challenge where hackerspaces can join. They are going to do something with Lego Mindstorms.
And you're not supposed to tell about the Lego Mindstorms. That's
secret. Well, that's all over the internet already.
Yeah, but we don't have to leak this.
No, well, I did.
What about?
But there's a prize. The hackerspace that wins this challenge gets to take home €1,000 check.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. You can buy a lot of nice hackerspace gear for that.
Yeah, and there's also a CTF game is going on. That's
CTF. Yep.
And that's the Winter Garden is free to entrance. So I would say, like, come over Thursday, Friday when they have lunch. They have excellent lunch over there.
Oh, lunch is good, yeah.
Yeah, with gold stuff on your cupcake stuff.
Actually, for the people who are now visiting the site of Hack in the Box, which is, what is it? conference.hackinthebox.org.
Amsterdam or something.
If you see the price, it's pretty high. But you can get a discount if you go to the site of the HXX Foundation. hxxfoundation.nl. You can basically look for Easter eggs. I mean, we hit some with Easter, and only one has been found yet. So there's four more Easter eggs that you can find. And
so if I find an Easter egg, but then I get in for free or just
no,
discount?
No, you get a discount.
How much, my friend? How much?
You get a ticket for €250 instead of the regular. I have to calculate at 900. Yeah, that's right. So that's quite. You're saving €650 there.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's still another
people
money.
Should just go there. We are running out of time. We have had. Yeah, we said everything. We will end the show with a nice song, "False Flag" by We the Undersigned. Nice reggae song. Okay, thank you for bearing with me and taking me through this ordeal again. And to our listeners, after this we will have a show by i3 Detroit again. And after that, it's DJ Random again. And next week we will be back with Talking Anthropology and the Hackerspace Digest, which probably won't happen because that's the show that they do in Makers Local 256 in Alabama. But they had a bit of a kerfuffle with a hurricane there, so I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
So, the biggest news of now was, like, Astera is moving to Berlin.
Berlin, yeah.
Yeah, that's big news.
We knew that.
Do we have a scoop?
It's No, it's not a scoop.
No, it's not a scoop. Damn.
People, thanks for listening, and until over 4 weeks. Bye-bye.
please dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces.